Month Horribilis, 1981. My dear King Street, I was in a real mess. I had nowhere to live. I tried all over the place, but eventually slept on the floor of my office until I was sprung by the cleaner. Plan B. I went to the People's Palace in King Street. I rustled up a few bob and went north up the street until I found a bottle shop. They had the specials in a beautiful convex curved deli counter. One bottle had a see-through label, Romany Rye. I was officially a gypsy, so it was perfect. The bottle was handed to me, and I dropped almost enough coins into the proffered hand. There was a moment of recognition. A hand closed, and an eye winked. No worries, old fella. Sometimes having an unruly white beard can be useful, like every morning when you don't have to shave. So I went back to the People's Palace, where there were strict rules against drinking in the rooms, and sex, animals, songs, Scrabble, writing poetry, and thinking aloud. So I went out to the fire escape and tippled from the neck of the lovely clear bottle. The label became a symbol of survival for me. Beads of icy moisture slipped across the clear mask. It was a work of artistic restraint rare today, and I treasure it like a drowning person treasures bursting back to the surface and gulping the lovely air of life. I looked out over a cityscape of neglected steel stairs, higgledy-piggledy plumbing, wires no longer connected to anything, just like me. It wasn't pretty, but I was allowed to look at it as long as I stayed on the stairs, a watcher from a cast-iron fire escape. It took me 2 nights to drink the wine. Oh, the profligacy. My grandfather took 3 days to drink one bottle of Abbott's Lager, but the gypsy brew soothed, and if I'd needed a battle standard, I would have made it clear and a celebration of gypsies. Our world would be better if we fought each other under a transparent flag. My resurgence began when a mate of a mate offered me a Volkswagen, the people's car, for $200. It was bright blue with bright red wheels. I was called Noddy for a decade until I gave the car to my niece. One of my first trips was to transport a delegation of overseas education bureaucrats to the airport. They thought they were being mocked, having to squeeze into a joke vehicle. The journey was largely silent, except for the VW, which seemed to have lived an earlier life as a chaff cutter. Today, I can afford much more expensive wine, but cannot buy it. What would my mother say? You paid what for 4 drinks of liquid? My mother's necessary thrift became a valve in my heart, which flutters madly when I buy anything a modest person cannot afford. I tell my granddaughter the story when I find 5 cents under the slide at the playground. You know, I bought my first house by saving threepences, I tell her. She looks at me, this elegant little thing, slips it into her shoe, and of course has lost it by day's end. I'm horrified and slide my hand into my pocket to touch precious coins. She and I have different lives. My childhood was tormented by periods where we had no money at all, and so now I always have a couple of notes secreted in my wallet to ward off that day. She, on the other hand, dances so wildly that the threepence jumps from her shoe. I smile. All children should be able to dance without restraint. Hers is a better life, I hope. Love, dear King Street, from the one you saved.